Welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
The men of this world think that God is somehow obligated to do good unto them, and often grow angry or at the least impatient when events and circumstances do not turn out as they wish. What folly it is for men to consider that God is in any way bound to provide anything at all for His creation. If He was pleased to create the world just for the purpose of causing misery to its inhabitants, who could bring a railing accusation against Him or charge Him with injustice? Hath not the potter power over the clay? David understood that any blessings which came to men must of necessity arise out of the mercy and grace of God, without regard to any merit on the part of men. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? It is with this understanding that we are made to stand in awe of the benefits which God, in his abundant mercy, has seen fit to unfold to his children in the sight of all of the sons of men. We stood worthy of nothing but destruction, yet we are made to cry out, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah." What are the benefits of God which he has manifested to his children? Number one, the forgiveness of sin. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? God alone can forgive sin, since all sin is against him, even as David testified. Number two, the healing of our disease. Who healeth all thy diseases? Carnal men are concerned with the healing of their carnal bodies, but that man who is spiritual desires to be healed of that disease of sin which eats at his vitals. A man may be healed of every carnal disease and yet suffer destruction, but those who are healed from sin shall live forever. God is our great physician. Number three, redemption from the just condemnation of the law. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Though the sons of God were never appointed unto wrath, they were subjected to the law in order that the Lord might demonstrate his grace and mercy in redeeming them from that condemnation and destruction which they showed themselves to be worthy of. He would be both just and the justifier of his elect sons, and has bought them back from the slavery into which they willingly sold themselves. The ultimate manifestation of this redemption is the resurrection of the body. Number four, blessing beyond compare. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? We are made to sing with the hymn writer of old, "Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my song, the joy of my heart, and the boast of my tongue." Number five, strength for the journey. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? The sons of God stand in need of nothing which Christ does not provide. Number six, help for the needy. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. The Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." He befriends the fatherless and widows and defends them against all of their enemies. Number seven, patience and long suffering. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Even as the prophet testified, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Number eight, he does not give us what we deserve. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Religious men consider that they will be rewarded for their good deeds. Spiritually minded men know that they are but unprofitable servants at best, and are ever thankful that God blesses his children according to grace and not merit, lest they should perish. And number nine, he has removed our sin, blotting it out in the blood of Christ. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Our sin can never be brought up again against us to condemnation by any accuser, for Jesus Christ has taken away all grounds upon which our sin could ever destroy us. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He pities those who tremble before him. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. The children of God who are acquainted with him fall upon their faces in reverence at the mention of his name, knowing that he is a consuming fire. Yet he is of such tender compassion to those that fear him, that he will not break the bruised reed nor quench the smoking flax. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Have you known his benefits?
If you would like a free transcript of this broadcast, email us at forthepoor@windstream.net.